nanohub.org.
You can follow along with this presentation using printed slides from the NanoHub. Visit www.nanohub.org and download the PDF file containing the slides for this presentation. Print them out and turn each page when you hear the following sound. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon. It is my great pleasure to be here. So today I'd like to introduce my current work. It's on phage display selection of tissue-specific homing peptide and their theranostic applications. This is the front view of our medical school.
Should be this one right here. Mm-hmm. I think the batteries are dead.
Okay, I can put that. Yeah, I'll use that. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yes, right. So first I'd like to give you a brief introduction about phage display and then talk about the tumor targeting and apoptosis targeting and atherosclerosis and stroke homing peptide. It is said that the tissues and vasculature in our body are different at molecular levels. Particularly, for example, tissues in liver are different from those in brain or skin. And even in the same organ, so the pathologic tissue put their signals on their tissue and the vasculatures. So maybe the vasculature in tumor would be different the normal counterpart in the same organ. So for example, tumor blood vasculature is very different from its normal counterpart. Morphologically, so you can see here at left panel, very smooth, tight sealed lumen of blood vessel. In contrast, in tumor blood vessels, this lumen is very irregular, and even there are gaps between cells and cells. There is a huge gap, right? So, and in addition to this morphological difference, now there are emerging number of many proteins or novel target which are exclusively expressed in tumor vasculature. The typical example is a alpha V beta 3 integrin, which is expressed at high level in angiogenic tumor blood vessels, but little is in normal blood vessels. So, as you can see here, there's a big gap between cells. The tumor vessels are very permeable to large particles. Maybe we have heard a lot in this morning about the tumor permeability and the targeting of nanoparticles. And even through this gap, maybe the surrounding tumor cells can be exposed to the lumen of a blood vessel. So based on this molecular diversity, we took advantage of phage display to find tissue-specific homing peptide. So there are two types of phage currently used. One is T7 phage. It's a lytic phage. So it looks like a lunar module. It has head and tails. So it's a double-stranded DNA bacteriophage with a size of 55 nanometer. And this T7 phage can display a peptide up to 400 copies. The other one is M13 phage. It's a filamentous phage. So this is lysogenic. So it didn't lyse the host bacteria, but it secretes its viral particle. It can display a peptide up to 5 copies in their at their P3 coat protein. So according to the displayed materials, phage display can be classified into peptide display, antibody display, and CDNA library display. So currently, random peptides are used for identify a protein-peptide interaction and the specific peptide ligand. And according to the screening approach, phage display can be classified into in vitro, ex vivo, and in vivo phage display. So panning is finding gold from sand, you know. So in similar way, we are looking for a special phage from the phage library. So it is called biopanning. So you create a phage library and capture phage that bind with high affinity with your target protein or target molecules, and recurve this phage and go through this kind of screening several times to enrich a specific phage clones. So we are using CX7C phage library. It means a random 7 amino acid flanked by cysteine at amino and carboxyl terminals. So there can be 20 amino acids at each position. So theoretically, there could be 20 to the 7 equals 10 to the 9 diversity. So let me just a brief introduction of in vitro phage display. In vitro display is usually on the cultured cells or a coated protein. So when you culture tumor cells or your cells of interest, you incubate with phage library, and maybe some phage clones bind well, and then you recover this phage and then go 3 or 4 times around to enrich your specific phage clones. And then you PCR amplify the DNA of DNA insert and get sequencing, and do the some kind of analysis using cluster W program to analyze the amino acid sequence and alignment. And then you also can do a blast the protein database search to see some homologous proteins with your peptide selected. So through this technology, you can identify cell type specific ligand or surface markers, or identify a biological active peptide ligand. And in vivo phage display is usually carried out by intravenously administration of phage library. And then you recover phage from your interest of organ, for example, tumor or some lung or liver, whatever. And then you recover this phage and go through the round several times, like in vitro display. And you finally get some phage clones and get sequencing. So through this technology, maybe you can find a specific organ or a tumor targeting peptide ligand and or a tumor blood vessel targeting peptide. So peptides have some advantage compared to antibodies, including it is smaller size, so it had better tissue penetration, and less possibility of immunogenicity and less possibility of liver and bone marrow toxicity. And of course, it is easier to produce and lower cost. And with this protein, peptide sequence, maybe small molecule peptide mimetics can be synthesized. And peptide has a fast blood pool clearance, so it gives less background. But the disadvantage is it has a weak affinity to antigen compared to antibodies. So to be applied to a targeting, such a homing peptide should be should have enough binding site, for example, overexpression of receptors, and high affinity, and sufficient in vivo stability. So let me start with a tumor, blood tumor targeting peptide. So we actually ex vivo screened phage that specifically bind to blood tumor cells isolated from the human tumor xenograft on nude mice. So first we labeled these tumor cells with a magnetic bead conjugated with the anti-epithelial cell antibody. And then mixed with normal cells and incubated with phage library. And then we collected the tumor cells with using magnet, and then recover the cell-bound phage and go through the fourth round of screening. So generally, with this kind of screening, you can see a gradual enrichment of phage titer. So these are a peptide sequences we selected. So at first, we chose 96 clones after three rounds of screening and performed the phage cell binding ELISA, and we narrowed down 20 clones and get DNA sequencing. And then through the analysis, we happened to know some consensus sequence here. So XN, XD, XR in these six clones. So we tested in vitro these six clones for tumor cell binding. So those all six clones showed very preferential binding to tumor cells compared to normal cells. So we chose this SNRDARRC peptide as a promising clone and chose for further study and named it as BLD1, stand for blood. So these are the peptide sequence. So the blast search can give you some homologous protein with this sequence. So for example, this SNRDARRC peptide had homology with a sialic acid binding immunoglobulin lectin-like proteins, so-called SIGLEX6. Well, many proteins can share a homology with this peptide. So this a phage displayed peptide may mimic this kind of natural ligand in tumor cell binding. So to validate in vivo homing of this peptide, we used a BBN, a carcinogen-induced blood tumor model. So BBN was given in the oral drinking water at Ribitum and for 20 weeks. So you can see the tumor growing in the bladder of the rat. And then we administered this peptide through the tail vein and allowed to circulation for 2 hours. And then isolate bladder tissue and so observed under microscope. So here you can see a thickened epithelium of bladder lumen, which shows that this is a tumor cells. So the fluorescent conjugated this BLD1 peptide is homed to this blood tumor. And so when co-stained with cytokeratin, an epithelial cell marker, you can see a very good co-localization of this peptide and epithelium, which means it targets to the tumor epithelium. So in contrast, this peptide didn't harm to normal blood. You can see only just the epithelial staining here, no peptide staining. So little homing of blood 1 peptide was observed in control organs such as lung, liver, and other types of tumor, mouse melanoma. So these findings suggest that this BLU1 peptide is somewhat very specific to blood tumor. And this BLU1 peptide can detect or bind to blood tumor. We hypothesized that we maybe can detect cancer, blood cancer cells in the urine using this peptide. So first, we collected urine from cancer patient who is supposed to have surgery. So and centrifuge the urinary cells and incubate with the BLU1 peptide and fixed in a thin prep vial. It is commercially used for pap stain. And then we put these cells, urinary cells, on the glass slide and then look with fluorescence microscopy. So you can see here some peptide-bound green fluorescent positive cells among urinary cells. While the control peptide didn't bind to the same cells from the same patient urine, and this BLU1 peptide didn't bind to the inflammatory disease, cystitis, or normal healthy individuals. So this is just a bar showing the average percent of peptide positive cells in TA, T1, T2 blood tumor and benign tumor and urinary tract infection and control samples. So compared to this control disease or normal state, we can see a higher level of peptide binding in tumor cells. So for in vivo imaging, we labeled this peptide with iodine-124 radioisotope. So, and this imaging was taken 14 hours after intravenous injection of the peptide. And you can see here a strong radio signal from the uptake of peptide, while you little radioactivity from the scrambled control peptide. So these findings show you the radio uptake from the BLU1 peptide is not non-specific signal from the uptake from the urine, excreted urine, since the scrambled control peptide, even it has radioisotope labeled, it didn't give a radio signal. So in another model, we made a mouse tumor xenograft and then intravenously administered this RI peptide, and the imaging was taken 5 hours after injection. So you can see here the uptake of peptide at tumor. And the thyroid gland and the stomach are physiologically uptake iodine at very, very high level. So these are just a positive control. So we are looking for some apoptosis specific peptide ligand. So, at first, we ex vivo screened phages that are specific to cells in tumor microenvironment. For example, endothelial cells, macrophage, and fibroblast. So we incubate phage library with cell suspension from primary tumor and then isolate each cell type using a cell type specific antibody conjugated magnet bead. And we selected a macrophage specific peptide sequence. And first, we expected this peptide home to macrophage in tumor tissues. But we happened to find that this peptide home to apoptotic area in tumor tissues. As you can see here, the peptide was seen in the tunnel positive area. So the merged image shows the colocation of a peptide and the tunnel. So we named this peptide APOSHO, which stands for apoptosis plus SHO. So this APOSHO peptide, when it was overread on the cultured tumor cells, it binds to the apoptotic tumor cells, but not to the untreated or normal tumor cells. And then we performed in vivo imaging in drug-induced model. So we treated doxorubicin 1 milligram per meal 3 times, and then we injected a peptide. So the fluorescein conjugated APOSHO1 didn't harm to tumor in control, non-treated mice. After doxorubicin treatment, you can see the homing of APOSHO1 peptide at 2 hours after intravenous injection, and it lasts up to 5 hours, while the control peptide didn't home to in the same time course of incubation. So, another approach, we looked for a phosphatidylserine specific marker. So, as you know, PS is an apoptosis marker. So, we performed in vitro display to find the PS binding peptide. And let me change shift gear to high speed. So, we tested in vitro and in vivo binding. So, and found that this peptide also binds to a apoptotic cells. So this kind of peptide can be used as a self-amplification of tumor targeting. Let me give you a brief introduction. So when tumor was there is a drug-induced apoptosis, it can be targeted by homing peptide labeled with imaging agent and drugs, and can lead us imaging of apoptosis and drug response or therapeutic efficacy monitoring. And also, we can do a selective drug delivery to tumors. Through this, we can enhance the drug-induced apoptosis of tumor cells. And this can recruit more and more homing peptide, so kind of the amplifying cycles. So I don't have time. So we look for atherosclerotic targeting peptide. So we performed ex vivo screening with endotracheomized atherosclerotic tissues and find a promising peptide called AP1, and we tested in vivo in LDL knockout mice. So you can see a targeting of this AP1 peptide on the plaque surface. And we happen to know this AP1 sequence share a motif with the interleukin 4. And interestingly, the AP1 sequence is homologous to the interleukin 4 receptor binding site of IL-4. So there are some papers about the role of interleukin 4 in atherogenesis. So we further confirmed the binding of AP1 to IL-4 receptor in mouse and human tissues, and culture the cells with always facing IR pore. And this is the in vivo imaging with the HGC nanoparticle. So we labeled, in collaboration with Dr. Chang Guan Kiss, labeled AP1 on these HGC nanoparticles and performed the in vivo imaging. So at 1 hour after injection, you can see a little homing of this AP1 HGC peptide while little with the HGC particle per se. At 6 hours after injection, you can see much better homing of these nanoparticles compared to the nanoparticle alone. So I'd like to thank Dr. In-San Kim in my department and many students. And also I'd like to thank Dr. Chang Guan and his group and some clinicians in our hospital for providing us good primary human tissues. Thank you very much for your attention.